There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me. Engage.
You slimy scumbag, get on your face and give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of 3 Days of Southern Fried Game Room Expo. I am your host, John, and with me tonight, as has been the case for the last two and most of my life, unfortunately, fortunately, is Lee. Oh. Lee, how you doing?
Oh, I'm going to kick you in my little pointy shoes. I am great. I'm getting excited about this. It's only like 2.5-3 weeks away.
Yes.
I can't wait. I can't wait to go to a con and just be able to like experience con. I'm like so excited.
I will be shocked and amazed if that is all that you do.
I know, me too. But we're going to see.
So you have your husband taking care of.
I do. I have my husband and my son. I volunteered both of them. Woo! Yeah. Next time. Look, you're going to tell me when you come and your son is a little older, what, 4 or 5 years older, you won't volunteer him to do stuff? Heck yeah! Make him work for it.
Yeah, probably.
And I'm sorry, this con has like the best volunteer thing ever. It's like 7 hours and you get to go to con. 7 hours over 3 days. It's 2 half days and 2 full days. No. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So it's a day. It's 2 full days. Well, 7 hours? That's nothing.
I think we have somebody here that can give clarification on that.
Well, we'll get to that. But so, John, I wanted to ask. So what was the game your family played this week? Because you guys play one every Sunday.
Oh, what did we play? Oh, this week, actually, we played Bounce Off. It really wasn't.
What? Oh, I don't know what that one is.
It's funny because on the box it says winner of no awards, but really who cares? It's a game where you draw a card and the two teams compete bouncing ping pong balls off of the surface trying to get them into that pattern.
Okay.
And
you just
go back and forth until you match it up. The previous week we played Timeline, and I think the previous week to that was mine. I think we played actually that night again. We've been playing more party games until. I think we said play anything, and then the one prior to that, then it was the train one. Help me out.
Ticket to Ride.
Ticket to Ride. Thank you.
Ticket to Ride, which is awesome, and I think the European is the most fun for me. So my hub is playing Quadropolis or whatever, but
ooh,
this week we played Four
really?
Crowns, which is kind of a card game board. Game-ish kind of thing, but you know that's what's so interesting. So you just mentioned games with ping pong balls,
yes,
party games,
yeah,
and then Ticket to Ride, which are all family friendly. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about Quadropolis and then Four Crowns, which is kind of an old school game, but a lot of fun.
I think Quadropolis is in my queue to buy on Amazon.
Well, you know, sometimes people get your family presents. But what is so funny is we're talking what would be considered board games. And you know who we're talking to?
No, I don't.
We're talking
I have
to somebody
no
about board
idea.
Games.
What? No.
At this, I'm going to get the exact name right here. Hold on. I got my little dad.
What?
Southern Fried Game Room Expo.
Woo.
Woo. How you doing?
I'm great, Lee. How are you?
I am great. John is howling.
And I'm
probably.
So proud of you for getting that right.
I did. I mean,
it's an acronym for known. You did it once. The rest of the show, you can
SFGE.
Say
that's right. SFGE. That's what I say all the time. That's what I like. People are like, where are you going? SFGE? Woo-hoo.
That's right.
Because I just say Game Expo.
Yep.
But
and there's a story behind that.
Okay, tell me the story.
Starting with arcade and pinball, we've always thought of people having those home game rooms where you have one or two pins and your board games and whatnot. And it kind of spun out of that. And as we grow, we've even looked at it and went, do we need the room? It wouldn't change the acronym. But who knows? Yeah. So
you started with room. You got to keep room.
Yeah. So.
Plus, finding another, URL kind of pain.
Oh, yeah. That's true. That's true. Don't want to do that.
So What do you do at SFGE?
Holy. So
everything I know, yeah, but
there were five of us that started the con. And I was one of the five. I've been going to Dragon for 14 years, and before that, Atlanta Fantasy Fair, and before that, who knows, just a million different things.
Oh, a gajillion ones, yeah.
Yeah, and so I've always loved cons and everything they represent and that escape from the real world. And with SFGE, from the very get-go, I was the person in the meetings going, we need tabletop. Not that I'm against anything. I'm a console player. I'm definitely an arcade and pinball player. I've played in the Atlanta Pinball League, and I enjoy all of it. But I just knew when you have that that whole gaming experience, you want tabletop as part of it, right?
And so many people do, yes.
Yeah, and so this year we got the luxury of moving on up from our previous hotel, the Renaissance Waverly, and a lot more space. And I said, this is our year. And so we've devoted their garden court area, which is about 14,000 square feet, to tabletop gaming. And we're super excited about our first year with tabletop. And so excited that we've got all kinds of neat things lined up. And I can't wait to tell you all of them.
Well, goody.
Well, here's your opportunity.
I think what's so great about this with you guys being able to expand to this is you're kind of hitting the whole game room idea, because we're talking about our next house. We're talking about our retirement house. Like, this is the house. This will be it. I won't move to another house unless my husband, you know, unless I can no longer stay in the house I am because I'm really old and infirm. John, shut up. And one of the things we're talking about is kind of, people call it a man den. I'm just calling it like the game room, because my husband has a gajillion games.
There's nothing wrong with that.
And there's nothing. No, he's been collecting them since like middle school and high school. And so we're going to have like a wall of just games, of shelves that just hold the game. So I think this kind of like goes through your whole idea of a game room.
It does, totally. And it can expand from there. There's all kinds of things. As long as you're keeping in that gaming genre with a tad of wrestling thrown in, you're still in that gaming environment, you know.
Yeah, you know, wrestling is just fun.
It's totally, it's a game, right?
Yeah, it's fun. Okay. It's a game. Yeah. John, is it a game?
It's got its own set of rules, sure.
Yep, sure. We'll leave it at that.
There we go. We'll go with the rules. And we don't know all of them. That'll work. Yeah, that's a lot like D&D and many other games. Oh wait, you can't do that. Yeah. Okay. Right. So what are some of the things? I mean, how long have you been pushing for this? And what were like the tabletop games that you were really pushing for?
Oh, you know, tabletop has evolved so much.
Oh my god, yes,
so much. And there's still so many of culture that says, oh, I like Monopoly. You know, and I'm like, yeah, I like it too. Okay, I guess. I did like Clue. Clue was always a favorite. But with the world now and how we do tabletop, so many things have spun out of that. We have some favorites at the house, and we love those. And now, getting more into it, I've been playing a lot of new stuff. I played Splendor last week for the first time. Enjoyed it enough to put it on my phone and play it some more. I had one sitting at my door today that my son immediately opened, and I can't remember the name of it. It's one of our play-to-wins that I will go into in a few minutes.
Okay.
And it deals with holding chopsticks and trying to get these pieces out of a bowl using chopsticks. And I'm thinking, the first thing I would say was, can I have a fork, please? Because that's what I do at Asian restaurants. I'm like,
wait. Things. Can I bring the little kids' chopsticks that fit on my fingers and they're plastic? Bands.
Yeah.
No, not the rubber bands. There are some that are plastic. You can get them at Super H Mart. Sorry, in Atlanta, you can get them at Super H Mart.
I need those.
And they're plastic tips, so it's easier to pick up.
All right, I need that. That's
but they have like a panda on the end or other things like that.
But so many different opportunities to play all these games. And I was like, you know, this is where we do it. You know, we bring all, if we build it and we bring them, they will come. And that's the hope. And and I think that we have a lot of opportunity, and we've tried to add so much stuff. What do we want to talk about first? You want to talk about guests? We'll talk about guests.
Yeah, let's talk guests.
Sure.
I got some guests.
Really?
I do. So I mentioned Will. Will James is our Geek Dad correspondent that's working with Board Gaming, and he's had some great ties to some companies, so he'll be there running some of our panels. But as far as guests go, we wanted to carry the gambit from Kickstart person that's just starting to hugely successful Kickstarter, to owns a company, to massively known. And so I think we've covered the gambit of all that. And all in all, we've got, I don't know, 8 or 10 tabletop only guests. And I think it's a great mix of, and you know, some are from further away and a lot of Georgia folks. And I think it's a neat way to start the show. So, you know, about our big one, I'm sure Patrick mentioned John Kovalik,
yes,
the Munchkin artist and Apples to Apples and a bunch of stuff. So we're super
Munchkin!
Happy.
Oh my God, Munchkin. If you folks, if you have not played Munchkin, first of all, it's better if you don't know the rules. Because that's how I won. Yeah, that's how I won. I didn't know the rules. Because I was like, can I play this? Oh, okay, good. Yeah. So don't know the rules and play Munchkin. It's fun. And the thing about Munchkin, John, you'll talk about this too. It doesn't sound like it would be a family game, but it is. Because, John, when your kids came here, they were desperate to play with all of us.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've been playing it for some time now as a family.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it is a family game. I mean, depending upon the sensibilities of some of your family, some of the cards might be a little risque, but you can always just take those out. Really, the cards in there are sort of, you know, not necessary.
I will also say for some 12-year-olds, they go like right over their heads and they just are like, what does this mean? And you can make up an answer.
So you know, you look at those cards and there's his autograph on his art, you know, so it's exciting to have him join us this time. We're bringing Kevin Lansing. He did Flashpoint Fire Rescue, the tabletop game, and the cool thing about it is it's being played on Tabletop, the TV show, this season. Which is always a good game, good sign to have it seen out there.
It'll sell a ton more too, right? Right.
Wait, yeah, where is this thing? What is this?
Tabletop.
Explain.
Flashpoint? Or tabletop?
No. Wherever he's going to be. I have not heard of this.
He's not going to be. Serious. No, Tabletop is the Will Wheaton show where they play board games.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Now you know. And he brings
in. No, I know that one. Yeah.
And I don't know who's going to be playing it, but that's one of the ones that was picked for this season. So
that will work. Yeah, there you go.
Exciting. Yeah. One of our more recent guests, Jason Anarchy, am I saying that right? I don't remember. He did the Drinking Quest series, which seems to be hugely popular if you want to play board games and drink.
I do.
I'm leaving What You Drink up to...
That's always great.
Yeah. I play better that way, I'll just say that.
or at least we think... At the end, you really don't care if you're playing any better, right?
Well, right. I don't even know if I've won, so it's great. You know, that's just...
I'll just take a nap. I'm all good. Yeah.
There's a Atlanta-based company called Quizmo Games, and Rich Zagalitz, I can't say his last name. I give up. He's going to be with us. He started the company and has one or two games in the slots, and that's kind of cool. Talking about some of those people that are just getting into the gaming, I reached out to a guy who has an Atlanta Kickstarter that's about to kick off, so I wanted someone just into that fold. His name's Tom Butler, and he's doing a game called the Pirate Republic. And it's about to hit. And he was super excited because he's military, too. I like that kind of story. And he was happy to note that he was home to be able to come to our show. Originally, he told me, you need to talk to me a month out. I really want to come, but I just don't know.
All right.
And so I was very happy he's going to get to come. There's a neat story about a guy out there, and I'm trying to think. His name's Kyle Key, and he's with Keymaster Games. He did a game called Control that's just finished Kickstarter, did like 1,000% over its number on Kickstarter. And he has a co-designer that's going to be with him that did some of the fonts for the game. And the interesting story of his is he went through heart surgery, 3 of them to be exact. And so all he kind of did there for a while was lay and play board games because that was what he could do. And fell in love with it and fell in love with the concept of it. And in fact, his family said they got into it too. In fact, they were playing Pandemic while they were at the hospital for one of his surgeries, which they said later probably wasn't a good game to play.
Yeah, you know, Pandemic is interesting. I've played it. I bet you have too.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah. And then we go, no, you have to do like, oh my God, so many forms to do this. But yeah. You do. You have to do. It's government. You have to do so many forms to do that. Yeah.
But he's coming, and so that's awesome. let's see, Will Kenyon, he does contract work, but just developed two games for 8 Summit Games, which is another Atlanta-based company. He had one that did really well on Kickstarter called Mythos Tales. And then he's got a kid one coming out, too. I think it's Little Adventurers Club. I forget. But it's nice to see the companies doing the younger kid games as well.
Well, I think that's – so 2 points here. First of all, I think Kickstarter is where a lot of games are getting – funding. My husband did Ogre for the big expansion, and other people are doing Kickstarter for, as you say, some of these kid games, and it's amazing what is going on there.
I'm just sponsored Kill Dr. Lucky, and Kill Dr. Lucky.
All right, I'm gonna look.
And actually, well, no, it's actually already done. Hopefully, it'll be here in the next week or two. But go on.
Yeah. And bring it to con. Okay.
And that's the only sad thing about Kickstarters is
takes forever. You have to
all deliver on time.
Yeah.
And it's hard. They learn the circles. Which
they're doing the best they can.
That's right. So we're having two neat panels that pair like 4 or 5 of these people on each panel to talk about the industry and the ideas and how it's all going to work, you know, if you're interested in how these things come together. I think one of them's called From Mind to Meeple. taking that information that's how they've learned and what they've took from their experience and putting it out to the crowd. There's another one, I forget the other one, similar kind of idea, but from those two groups of people, and we've kind of made the panels so it's a mix of, you know, more senior people that have done this a little bit longer to, you know, some of the young ones in the group far as design. So we're excited about those two panels that are going to be part of the show. And there I did. I jumped right into panels.
That's good. And because I want to talk about panels and I want to talk about play to win.
We'll talk about that.
So because I think the issue with panels, people don't understand there's a lot going on in board games. I mean, it becomes both a family and then what's going on new, i.e. Kickstarter, and then those people who are really, really serious about it. So how are you bringing all that together, or are you?
Yeah, we are.
We can do both. Yeah.
We can do both. And I think part of that's the sessions. You know, we want to push these sessions so you can see. There's a couple of different ones, those two I talked about. There's obviously some with John, personally by himself. There's one with Jason and the Drinking Quest, because that's a little more mature crowd. And so we'll have one with him at night. In fact, we're going to have two with him. And the second one, you're invited, that's into our 18 and plus hour, you're invited to come watch him run a real panel of them playing, which should be fun.
I'm looking that up on Google now. So good one.
Yeah. He's from Canada, I believe. He'll be joining. I don't know if they drink a lot there. I'm just saying. So there's that going on. And then, as you mentioned, there's these play to win, play and win. And there's game demos. So let me talk about both of those. Play and win is a neat concept that you'll see at other cons. Not every con does it, because it does take some time. But basically, we'll have stacks of games that are clearly labeled with these giant fluorescent stickers that say play and win. They're removable. And you check that game out just like you would check out a game from the library. You sit down for 30, an hour, whatever the game is to play. You play you learn the game and play it. You return the game, and everyone who played it, so if there's 6 of you in the game, 6 of you get a slip, and you put your name and contact information on that. And you put it in the envelope that matches the game. And on Sunday, we will draw names to see who wins all of these play and win. We may give away some on Saturday. So we're giving away like 40 play and win games.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so there's a lot in our collection, and all of those are on it. Well, 30 of the 40 are on our sites now, and they're a mix. They're everything from Stonemaier's Between Two Cities, which was popular very recently, Forbidden Island, Forbidden Desert, which you probably played those. Those are cooperative games, and I like those. Star Wars X-Wing Miniatures, we're giving one of those away. Quadropolis, you mentioned that one. Munchkin the Nightmare Before Christmas and Munchkin Marvel.
I love John jumping in going, ooh, yeah.
Well, the X-Wing games are not cheap.
No, they aren't.
We'll talk about that in a minute, how that works. But we're giving away Sushi Go, which I played 2 nights ago, which was quite
really?
Oh, I've yet to play it. It was good? I've never played it.
It was cute. It was cute. It was you're trying to build these stacks of sushi and you get points for getting things. It was cute. It was fast. So all right.
That's cool.
Fun game to pick up really quick.
Well, and I think that's the thing about a lot of board games, tabletop, whatever you want to talk. You can have a slow one. You can have a medium one. And you can have a fast one. It's whatever you want to play. You just need to talk to people to figure out, you know, yeah,
right.
What's going on.
Yep. And I've learned if you want to, I've sat down at cons before and got the instructions and been totally lost.
Mm-hmm.
On your train game specifically one time,
yeah.
I was going, really? They're poorly written, by the way.
Really?
The edition I had, we were four of us and we're all looking at it going, what? I have since learned.
What do you mean about a tunnel? What do you mean about a... I was there. I had arguments. I agree.
And so going back to your statement, some of the fast games, they say play in 15 to 30 minutes. Usually the rules are a hair simpler and you can pick up quicker. So if you don't want to spend a lot of time, I would not grab one that says an hour, hour and a half.
No.
Because typically the rules are deeper and it takes a little longer. So you learn how you can sneak into a game. But all these 30 and growing to 40 games that you see on the site were all donated to our show.
That's good.
Yeah, they were all donated. There might be one or two we threw in there, but they were donated from the companies like Stronghold Games and Stonemaier Games and TMG and Northstar and Overlord and all of the Overworld. They're all listed on there. And we are so appreciative of these companies because they understand until you play a game, you don't get it. And a lot of times Play and Win are newer games or games that they want to get into the market a little more. And that's okay. But it also gives us a chance to see what kind of games they make. So Forbidden Desert may lead you to Forbidden Island, which may lead you to another game that they make because you've liked that style.
Well, and I'm looking at your Play and Win list. And so you've got things like Too Many Cinderellas with Munchkin Marvel, Munchkin the Nightmare Before Christmas. Oh my God, it's hysterical. I'm not going to joke. you've got Dark Moon, and then you've got like Apotheca. Uh-huh. So you've got a really huge mix in there. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a very good mix of I think variety here, and it makes us excited. We got a couple more coming, so we're not quite done with that.
Yeah,
list. And we worked with a wonderful
teaser. Yeah,
we're working with a really great company that I just have to give props to. There's a company called Envoy, and Envoy works with conventions to make sure the conventions reach some of these smaller board game companies and some of the middle and big ones to make sure that their games are getting played in some of the cons. And so they've been really great with us to get us some. Connections to some of those companies and to make some of this wonderful Play and Win piece happen. So we're happy about that. So, and of course having Will and connections into some of the industry helps too, but yeah, they're excited. They also, some of these companies donated games to our library too. So some of the games that you'll be playing at the show in our library were donated by some of these companies and others. So it just depends on what the company decides they want to send it for.
Sweet.
Yep.
Yeah. Or you're not going to be doing any of that with the arcade games, are you?
No, we are giving away an arcade. We do give away an arcade or a pinball every year. We're giving away a pinball machine this year.
Oh.
The way it works, and Patrick may have mentioned this, is most of those games are not ours. In fact, very few. They come to the show because moving a bunch of games, even if we own them at the show, is hard as well. Mm-hmm. We do a drawing for the people that bring games. If you're a game bringer, not only do you get in, you have the perks of getting in and perks like shirts and whatnot, but you also get put in a drawing, and we have giveaways that we'll draw on one of the nights for all the people that brought games. And the biggest prize there is one of the machines that we have at the show. And last year it was signed by the designers who were also at the show. So it was kind of cool.
So by bringing, are you talking about only the
pinball and
things?
Yeah.
Not the
tabletop. But I still encourage you to bring your tabletop and plop it down and play.
Well, here's the issue about tabletop. You never know who's going to already know that game and be able to play it with you. So,
So Trust me,
I will have exploding kittens somewhere on a corner.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
Oh, okay.
Don't get me to exploding kittens because I love exploding kittens.
Awesome.
demos. So we do have a lot of opportunity for demo. In fact, we've been accepting demo applications, and we're going to put up a list of all the demos that are going on the show this week. I think there's a list of 40, 45 demos that are going on at the show. And that's great. There's a couple of RPGs if you're into RPGs. There's a Star Wars RPG for kids. There is all kinds of demos of all kinds of games. And one or two of the games are actually some of the play to win. So if you play and win one through a demo, then your name still goes on the list. And so these people will be there at a certain time. You can sign up to be able to demo there. Or if they're sitting there, you can walk up and fire up a game, and we'll have a little area in our tabletop where they'll be working. They're not there the whole time, so you need to check your times. And if you really like a game, that's when you need to try to go make sure that they're there and can play in. And the great thing is, there's no better way to learn a game. They know it. And so quickly you can pick up without having to read the book, you know. So that's cool.
Okay, John, your turn.
Well, thank you.
I'm going to be quiet. I know.
So tournaments. Now, you did you start to mention that, or was I hallucinating?
No, I didn't mention tournaments yet.
Okay, let's talk about them.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, that's what I want to know. What are they? What are you doing tournaments of?
So hesitant this year to do any big tabletop companies. We already have two or three companies that know exactly what tournaments they want to run with us, like the companies themselves would like to run next year, and we're super excited about that. We will be running some normal stuff. We do have Friday Night Magic kicking off on Friday night at 7 o'clock. You can't have a con without some Friday Night Magic, right?
Oh, God help you, no.
No. So it'll be a $15 draft, just like you would do a draft in a store with prizes at the end. So there'll be the tournament there to do that with. And so that's great. And then there'll be some other, you know, little things, but we're not having, even though we talked about it, just too many things on the plate for the first year. We're not having everybody's going to play Catan until one. There's only one, you know, and they will have the longest road, and so shall be. No, we're not doing that yet. But that's on the plate for
now. I'm not laughing. I swear to God, but I am. Okay.
But you are. But you, and it's okay.
I'm giggling because that's kind of how we play it at our house. Oh, keep going.
But we do plan on it, you know, and we do that now with consoles. We do that with pinball. We do it with arcade. We do it, you know, we're doing the Ghostbusters one this year, in fact, and we get those sponsored too. So, I don't know if Patrick mentioned, we get like Second and Charles is going to be sponsoring, I think, our Smash Brothers tournament.
That's awesome.
So they'll be promoting that and giving some prizes from Second Charles, which is an awesome store. And so that's what we try to do. And we'll do that. We'll bring that same love next year into the tabletop side. So
one of the things I've always found with tabletop is it is a great, as a parent, it's a great way to do logical thinking, operational thinking, ABC kind of logistical ideas. Oh, yeah. And I'm kind of wondering, are you looking at bringing all of these together for families, or is it more focused on individual gamers?
We've always said both. Yeah. SFG's always been for families. I'll talk another piece of that in a minute, but we want the days and Saturday. And we've seen that, you know, these kids show up last year. I got this call that said, we're a youth group traveling through Atlanta and we're there on Sunday. Can we bring, you know, 10, 15, 14, 13 year olds to your show and just let them play? I was like, bring them, you know, that's what it's about, you know, having all these people experience gaming, whether it's tabletop and they can do it at home, or it's arcade that they've never seen because they're only 13 and they don't exist anymore. Don't let me cry. But it gives them the opportunity to play these different kinds of genres. And I think appealing to that side of it is huge for us. You know, we want people to continue to play because that's our next generation of gamers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not necessarily always behind an Xbox, right?
No, cool too. Right. You know, it's so amazing about games because I've been able to watch a child through tabletop, through Xbox, through, you know, the Nintendo DS, play Game Boy, whatever. And it's been amazing to see the different, I don't want to say skills, but that's the best way to do it. The different things he's learned through each of those. They're very different skills, very different interactions, everything else you learn. So I think it's great. I love it.
Yep, I totally agree. But then at night, we change focus just a little bit. So there'll still be tons of things.
What kind of tournaments are you having then?
What's your,
What?
John, you go first.
No, I was just saying, what kind of tournaments are you having then?
Well, and I was going to say, at what time does night start? There we go.
So,
I love it.
I said Drinking Quest, right?
Yeah. So,
yeah, that should be fun. But really, we want to have a moment at night where parents and adults can enjoy the facilities. And we have some different things that are specifically for 18 plus, and adding one or two more. For instance, and this steps out of board game just a little bit, but not really totally. We're going to be doing a Jackbox event.
Oh,
if you're familiar with Jackbox Games, they were the group who did You Don't Know Jack.
Yay!
Yeah, and so we're doing, I'm the host of it. It should be a lot of fun. And I played it and realized it could get inappropriate quickly. So it's an 18 plus event that we'll be having on Friday night. Which should be a lot of fun. But also, we are going to open up, I think, one of our rooms to play things like Exploding Kittens and what's the black box one?
Cards Against Humanity.
Cards Against Humanity. Oh. Right. Yeah.
John, so, we've never played that, have we? No. Because we don't know what it is.
Okay. Yeah.
Or the Exploding Kittens NSFW edition. No. Yeah. John and I are really good parents. We have no idea.
Yeah. Okay.
We're so going to hell. Well, we know it.
I went on a trip at work and played Cards Against Humanity with my boss, which I regretted a little
bit. Did you really?
But laughed a lot.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that another time.
Yeah, we will.
We'll talk
about that on Saturday night when we're not podcasting.
I like it. And so we do have alcohol available in the hotel. Most of the game room, like the arcades and pinballs, the pins, actually a lot of them will have pin gulps on them, which hold drinks. We do have security though. So if you're rowdy or you're weird or you're trying to sit on a pinball machine or lay on top of a tabletop table, we're going to ask you to leave.
And they're going to find me and I'm going to look at you with the mommy stare and you're going to feel really, really guilty and you're going to walk away. Because I have a really good mommy stare.
That's okay. I'm all right with that.
No, you're good with that. That works.
I have a mommy stare.
I know. Patrick and I talked about it. We're good.
We want people to enjoy it at every level. And so I think turning that at night just a little bit to more for the adults to have a little bit more enjoyment, I think will be neat. And we've always thought, wouldn't it be cool to have an arcade and actually get to enjoy it like a bar? And now these are popping up. We've said this for 15 years and just now they're getting popular everywhere because they listen to my brain say,
TM. All right. So,
yeah.
How do we not trademark that?
Yeah, I know.
I know. It's too late now.
Check the schedule. We're adding one or two more things on there, but really that late night stuff will be a lot of fun. And then it goes even later. And I know he talked about we're having live rock band and you sing it, you play it, arcade rock band, some fun stuff.
And I'm going to talk for John right now because John, you play games like until 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m., right?
Yeah.
So there are a lot of games that go on that are not officially sanctioned because you've found a group of friends and you're like, oh, I want to play this with you. And you all go off on your own because it's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So, and that's fine because that's what these kind of groups are, we want to do that. We want to find what you want to do and play from 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. before you get two or three hours of sleep before you go and get breakfast, we hope. So have fun with that.
What time do you want a game room or a tabletop area to close?
At the end of the con? Expo? And
so that's what we're doing.
The mommy cannot answer that in a way that anybody is going to like. I will get in many, many problems because mommy wants you to go to bed at 10 and sleep until about 11 from 11 p.m. till 6 a.m. I know it is not apparent through con, but that's what I want you to do.
Mom is free to do that. Mom can go
Yeah, I know.
But it's available. So
it's available.
Yeah, if you want to play one of our demos at 3 in the morning, then by all means.
You will find friends. I promise. I promise.
And so you know, that's just one of the things. We'll see how it goes this year. We'd like to see it. You know, we don't expect it to be full at 3 a.m. But, you know, if you're one of these people that just want to play a game at 3 a.m, let's talk. We'll play. You know?
Well, you could find my husband. I swear to God, he is going to figure out a way to do 24/7. I swear. He's going to figure out a way.
That'll be fun.
It will be. Yeah.
You know what? There's if you don't want to game, so let's say your brain can't take that much tabletop.
Okay, I can't.
Okay, let's just say then we have other tabletop options besides actually playing.
And I don't know really
talked about this, but he did talk about movie screenings. But yeah, we have movie screenings specifically for tabletop. We have we have The Next Great American Game, which is about a creation of a board game. We have Going Cardboard, which is a board game documentary. And then we have the one that I think's the neatest, even though it's funny because of what it is. And I mentioned this game at the beginning. We have Who Did It? The Clue VCR Game documentary.
Okay. I loved
There's
Clue,
a documentary.
And I loved Clue the movie. I did, because it had Tim Curry and all these in it. No, wait. What was her name?
I remember the movie. Yeah.
The Clue movie, if you have not seen it, you need to watch it. It's awesome. So, yeah. So, John, turn.
So, but the Clue VCR game is something completely different, though.
It is. Yeah,
I had it because I played it.
It was a short-lived game that, and much like you've seen games in the last couple of years that come with a DVD, it came with a VCR tape. and you played this game that was Clue-ish.
Wait. Pause. VCR, it's what your parents or somebody put in their storage shed and you got to go get out. It's got a really big thing. It's about 6 inches by 4 inches and it's what, 1.5, 2.5 wide? And you got to put it in. Yeah.
And then you always hated it when your VCR ate it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kids, just use Wikipedia. You'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Oh, good God.
Apparently it had kind of a little cult following, this game did.
Yeah.
And now they made a documentary.
How long is that documentary?
It's on the side. I don't remember.
It's not that long. I want to say it's like 119 minutes. It's not long. The thing about the Clue movie, if you watch it, you're going to, oh my God, love it. Because I grew up playing Clue. So it's going to be awesome. Go. So let me ask you something else.
Uh-huh.
You have a charity, the Atlanta Community Food Bank.
We do have a charity.
Say it again.
I said we're super excited about that.
I know.
Yeah.
So what are board games doing for that?
That's a good question. I'm sorry. No, we definitely have one or two games that are going to be donated to that. I don't know what they are. I don't have that list in front of me. Maybe we'll do a basket that's tabletop related, and you bid on the basket.
That'd be good.
And it's got some games in it. I think that might be a neat way of, instead that's of a single game which doesn't have the same appeal, you can walk away with stuff that all falls into a genre.
Yeah. And I want to say, if you're there and you're like, oh my God, I've got like two or three extra bucks, throw it towards that charity. The Atlanta Community Food Bank is an amazing charity. It does amazing work. And
yeah. For every dollar they bring in, they put $9 worth of food out on the table of Atlanta. I think that's a great thing to look at. And so, yeah, by all means, we have the auction going on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the times, 1 to 3, somewhere in that time frame.
I'll look. Keep going.
Yeah. And so a couple of the representatives from that group will be there helping with the auction. And then every proceed from the silent auction will go back to them. We've had some neat donations already. Atlanta Movie Studio Tours gave us 2 passes to their studio tour. The Atlanta Hawks have given us a jersey from one of their players. They'll be there. They're bringing a basketball game. I'm not a sports person, but I can say that.
I'm not either. And I'm like, what?
Yeah. There's some different variety into that silent auction. There'll be some very unique and signed pieces of arcade and pinball stuff, some back glasses and translots from pinball machines, possibly some by some artist and whatnot. So that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things going in there not falling under my category, so I can't name them all, but definitely.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, that's good.
Definitely some good stuff going into there, which we're excited about.
All right. John, your turn.
Sweet. So where can people find more information about, A, maybe the board games that you have? I don't know if they're all listed there, but or just about the con, or I keep calling the con, the expo in general.
Well, you've already set our website, Southern Fried Game Room, Game Room Expo.
Game Room.
Expo.com. On that site, if you go under event, there's an area called Tabletop. The drop-down event called Tabletop. And we list a lot of what's going on in Tabletop there. We do not have a complete list of all the games in the library. No. That would kill me. But not because it's just us. We also have partnered with an Atlanta company called Galaxy Quest or Galactic Quest. And Galactic Quest is neat because they run two stores in the Atlanta area. Mm-hmm. One's in Buford and one's in downtown Lawrenceville. In fact, we celebrated Free Comic Book Day with their Lawrenceville store. And
you didn't
they
tell
have,
me that, by the way. Know,
that's fine.
You didn't tell me that. Ugh. Okay, so, keep going.
So Galactic Quest has tabletop areas in their stores with demos, and they're going to be bringing a lot of those demos along with products you can purchase. So if you see something you like, you'll be able to purchase from them at the show. They're also the ones running our Friday Night Magic on Friday. So we're super happy to partner with them. I know they've worked with some other cons in the area and outside the area, and so we're cool to see how it's going to go this year with them and working with us. We're excited about it. So
very cool.
Sweet.
It's one of the things, first year of a new section, you can't do it all.
Yeah. Now as Lee pointed out, her husband and son are volunteering. Are you guys still taking volunteers or?
Oh, definitely. And we're still looking for some tabletop volunteers. So as Lee said, we've got an option for 7 hours, get you the whole weekend, but we also have an option for 3 hours that get you a whole day. And so if you're able to put in 3 hours on Saturday, and we're open for a long time on Saturday, you can spend the rest of the weekend or the rest of Saturday playing games. And so everything from tabletop checkout, we have people actually watching doors. We still need some help with some loadout stuff. I mean, there's a lot of different options in there.
And there are, because the volunteering here is everything. So you might have to, like, lug, which we've talked, those big console TVs versus, you know, sitting security. Right. So, you know, there's a lot of different things. And I think, but the issue there also is you get to play so many games. It's amazing. Because you get to play everything from Pac-Man to Settlers of Catan, because it runs the gamut.
Yep.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I have to think that that's the first time those two things were compared in a sentence.
You think? Should I have used Ms. Pac-Man?
Yeah. Then it would have been more recent.
Yeah. But it's so much fun, and I think that's the issue.
Pleasant problem.
What?
Never mind. Go on.
All right. So my husband loves tabletop games, but he also likes those games where you used to be on the computer and go from, like, you have killed the Death Star, point A, you now have to kill whatever. So it was like all those little points you had to meet. Uh-huh. So I think that's what's amazing too, because everybody likes different things, and this expo has all of that, and it's going to be fun.
I hope so.
It is. It's going to be so much fun.
If tabletop takes off in any capacity, like everything else we've done, I couldn't be more happy. We have had nothing, you know, we obviously watch the arcade and pinball forums and discussion groups and the Professional Amateur Pinball Association, which come from all over the country and play for the last 4 years. And once the show started, we have gotten nothing but compliments about everything we do. One or two people laughed at our name, and that's okay, but you remembered where it was, and I can't express how happy we are with our fans of the show, and like I said, if Board Game does what everything else does, I'm expecting a great start into that arena.
And you'll also probably have to be looking for another site next year.
We're not using No. We have this is the perfect space for us.
Yes, yeah. It is.
Patrick probably talked about how difficult it is for us from the power standpoint.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, they were trying to push us to the airport. Nobody wants to go to the airport.
Oh yeah, he mentioned that.
Yeah, I didn't say that loud enough for anyone to hear me, but no. But they also those hotels didn't have the power that we needed, you know, to pull off a show like this. And it does require a lot of power. And even though board gaming doesn't, everything else we do does. So it limits us a lot on location. And downtown is also hard. You know, Dragon works fine and other cons in downtown because of how they move in and vendors have to deal with their own stuff. But it doesn't necessarily work for us with all these people bringing their big machines and having to park on the side of a street where there's still traffic and unload. It's just very difficult. Mm-hmm. Renaissance is wonderful because Renaissance is outside the perimeter.
Yep.
It has a lot of parking because it has the parking for the convention space there next door as well.
It's free.
It's all free, which is nice. It has the tunnel to walk over to Cumberland and lots of different shops, food places. It has two restaurants within the hotel. So there's all this variety there.
And there's and here's the pool at the hotel.
There is. Here's the big point. We're not using all their space now.
No?
So we've got a lot of growth. They have two ballrooms downstairs and a lot of breakout space. So, in fact, I'll let you in a little secret.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We're already in talks about next year's space with them. Started today. So,
yay! Well, I think the issue there is because the issue on tabletops, it takes up a lot of room.
It does.
But it's something that leads to other things and that's what's so fun about it. Because my son loves video gaming and tabletops and talking about tabletops. And you've got all of that right here. It's amazing. And the designers and everything else.
I know. We're excited.
You're like, oh my God. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we're excited.
And it's exciting I'm
to
be so
this close to the show and see it all come together.
So. Well, and I'm so excited because I was really, really bad at video games, but you've got somebody who's going to talk about like a movie that I loved. So I'm all excited about that.
You can say his name,
Lance Guest. Yeah, I am so excited. Oh my God. I love that movie.
Oh, I do too.
Because I was like, I want to beat Xur in the Empire, but I know I couldn't because I suck at video games. So I'll live through Alex Rogan and it'll be fun. So, okay.
All right, Shan, let me ask you my final question.
Sure.
Uh-oh.
If you had to get rid of any genre of board gaming, what would you get rid of?
Oh my gosh, what an awful question.
I know.
Wait. What do you mean by genre?
For example, not card gaming, but let's say deck building games or collectible card games or
I have a genre and it's not that I don't like it because I've recently found a game that it works for. It's dice games. I'm not a super big fan of 8 million dice that I have to roll because they fall off the table and they land sideways and we all debate, do I re-roll it?
So Dice Masters isn't your
Yahtzee
thing.
Yahtzee as a child. And, you know, all this builds up.
Yeah. Oh, dear God. He doesn't know how to put it in like the box top. Keep going.
There was trauma around. I like to imagine there was trauma around Yahtzee when you were a kid, and that's why.
I'm not revealing. Those are dark times. The game that I've recently played that has a lot of DOS, and when I say a lot, and I did like it because it was fun, was Space Cadets DOS Duel. And basically there's two ships on a board. There's a board involved, so it's not totally DOS. And you're moving your ship around trying to fight the other ship, and both teams are rolling dice at the same time as fast as they can, moving as fast as they can, and it's just dice chaos. And I got a good laugh out of it a couple of times, but you should watch a video. It's quite humorous.
We will.
But you asked, so there you go. Yeah, dice. I got
dice game. When I think about it, that's probably the area I would go to as well.
I was going to ask, John, what would you get rid of?
That was a good one, but I would the problem is I was thinking officially licensed gaming, except it would get rid of some really good recent officially licensed stuff, like Firefly's really good, Battlestar Galactica is really good, but then it all kind of falls apart after that. Well, so, but probably that because there's so much crappy stuff around that. And even then, even the stuff that's rebranded that way too, doesn't work out so well.
The issue for me is I like a game where I can go, okay, an hour and a half, I'm going to be done with this game. And there are so many games that aren't like that.
What do you mean?
So fix it.
Oh, you want to get rid of the long game?
I want to get rid of anything that doesn't take like an hour and a half or 2 hours.
It takes over that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you're getting rid of Firefly, Battlestar Galactica.
I'm getting rid of all of it. I'm totally in the like Five Crowns. Probably Ticket to Ride. I'm everything out of that. I'm done. Yeah.
Can we get rid of movies that are based on board games or based on games at all?
Okay. Can I get rid of Clue? All right. So my son and I this weekend, we were like, oh God, what's on, you know, what can we watch together? And all of a sudden he was like, oh, Battleship's on. That really sucks. I was like, really? It's like, oh my God, it sucks. And so we were like, okay, so we could watch Battleship or we could watch Starship Troopers. My son picked Starship Troopers.
Both of them are horrible.
And he's read the book and been like, he's read the story and been like, I would rather do Starship Troopers than Battleship. Isn't that sad? Mm.
I don't know. I would rather do Starship Troopers than Battleship.
Starship Troopers is one of those things that's very divisive amongst our people.
I swear to God, it could be so good. Even with Casper Van Diem.
I still think it is the worst movie I have ever seen in a movie theater.
No, really?
Wow, the first one? Really?
Yes.
Wait. Yes. Did you see Batman versus Superman in the theater?
Yes, I did, and I thought it was better than stinking Starship Troopers. And I saw Battlefield Earth, well, parts of it, in movie theater. So there you go. That'll tell you.
No.
Well, I was working at the movie theater at the time, so I would see parts of it.
Okay, wait, hold on. Everybody that thinks John and I are married, that he thought Battlefield Earth was better than Starship Troopers.
I just could not stand that.
We are not married. No, I thought Starship Troopers was so
even the unnecessary nudity couldn't save it.
What nudity?
There was nudity in there.
In there's a Battlefield shower, there's, Earth?
No. In Starship Troopers, there's a shower scene. What's her nose was in the shower?
It was men and women. That was like co-ed. That doesn't count.
Okay. I understand. But my point is, even that can save you. Boobs versus abs.
I am not. Oh, okay. Keep going. It's fine. All right.
Anyway.
We'll end this at some point.
Shannon.
I'm just saying, there's been a rash of bad ones.
What is the worst one that you've seen? Based on a game. Come on, you know it.
He's waiting for Sorry, the movie.
They're considering it, I'm sure.
I'm waiting on Monopoly. I can't wait. Yeah.
At least it has a character. Battleship was probably just the one that, from the idea on, I was like, what? How do you base any movie on this?
And there was big falling bags. What do you know?
Yeah, I know. It was terrible.
What was amazing about Battleship this weekend, because my son said, we were going to watch like a dumb movie together. And my son said, oh, Battleship's on. He went, wait, I read that wrong. It's Barbershop. That's a good movie. No, you get to go do whatever you want. I'm like, oh, man, I was all excited about Battleship with my son harassing it and like making jokes. So. Barbershop's a good movie comparatively, if you ever have that question.
Now we know.
That's only Lee's family. We will not. Yeah. Okay.
We may have gone down a rabbit hole.
Intend
to go down.
John, do you want to talk about William? Keep going.
No, that's it. All right. We're good. We're good.
Okay.
Shannon, again, let everyone know what the website is one more time.
Sure. It's Southern Fried Game Room. GameRoomExpo.com.
Room.
GameRoomExpo.com. Yep.
Room Expo.
And again, thank you for joining us. Oh, the dates again, one more time, because I think we forgot to mention.
June 10th, 11th, and 12th.
Yes.
On Friday, we open at 4, but you can get there and get your ticket a little before that. Day passes are only available on site. You can still buy your 3-day pass online. If you hear this in time, you can use the code GAME ON and save $5 on that.
Oh, sweet.
Game on. Yep. All together.
Game on.
Yep, and that'll save you $5 on a pass. Those will go up until, I think, the Monday of the show, and then we close those down. Yeah. And then it's available at the door. Yep.
And I will be very honest, guys, $60 for this con is amazing. I think John probably spent $60 in what, John? Because you didn't eat lunch. What, a quarter of school?
What do you? Oh!
Because you didn't eat lunch. Because you said you didn't eat lunch, so you could then play video games.
Yes, probably. Because a lunch back then was a dollar, I believe. And yes, I would cash in my dollar, get four quarters at the Pickwick, and then play Tron and or Spy Hunter and or Dragon's Lair, which are the ones that, and Commando. That's the other one that I remember distinctly.
Yeah. With the big key. It all works. Okay, there you go.
All right, Shan, thank you for joining us. I appreciate you taking the time out to discuss.
Yeah, thanks for having me. That was awesome.
And as always, this is John for Lee and Shannon saying until next time, peace.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter at @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Share Alike non-commercial license.